This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. The weather forecast is not very harvest friendly for a big slice of the Corn Belt. Our rivers are just getting back inside their banks, and chances for more extended rain loom again in the forecast. This is a recipe for extended harvest delays. We had record precipitation for the month of September, so soils are full and any rain that we get has to run off or be drained through the tile systems. The weather situation is fueling fund short covering. Farmers will do whatever they can to avoid selling soybeans at these low prices, hoping that Trump trade representatives will eventually get around to China. The USMCA gave them hope. Some wheat country that suffered drought will get too much rain in the current forecast, causing planting delays. But the wheat market mostly still responds to what is happening in Russia. There's a disruption in Russian port operations that will slow loadings. Do they really want to sell so much wheat that domestic supply gets short? They appear to change their minds day to day. Big crops do tend to get bigger, and F.C. Stone thinks that will be the case again this year, boosting their corn yield from 177.7 to 182.7 bushel per acre, also up from USDA at 181.3 bushel per acre last month. They also increased their soybean yield from 53.8 to 54, which is also above the USDA at 52.8 last month. We have not done enough harvest here yet to gain clarity on what is out there. There are a few fields that have been completely harvested with wet spots still standing. Final yields are not calculated until they are finished. When in Brazil a few seasons ago, I was in the Mato Grosso, where they were wringing their hands wanting the rainy season to get started. It was about this time of year, and they got the first rains of the season when I was there. This was important to them, as if they plant soybeans late, it can shorten the time during the rainy season for second crop corn. This year, the rainy season has gotten started early, and they're planting early. That will result in more early harvest, closing the window between last year's and the next year's crop there, helping China remain focused on Brazil for supply so that they can avoid buying here. Soybean planting in Brazil is going at a record early pace. I guess that is negative for the corn market, too, that should benefit from their second crop corn. I am a bit surprised at the pushback that there seems to be in Congress relative to ratifying the United States-Mexican-Canadian agreement. I thought that should be a slam dunk, but even GOP Senate Majority Whip John Cornyn expressed reservations over passage. It will not get taken up until the next Congress next year. If the Democrats kill it, it would force Trump's hand in canceling the old NAFTA. That, too, requires a congressional approval. This is not over until the last I vote in Congress is cast ratifying it. Labor interests still oppose it. The ag sector had zero tariffs in NAFTA and gets zero tariffs in the USMCA, with farmers expressing relief. Next Tuesday, President Trump will reportedly make a big announcement in Council Bluffs, Iowa, expected to be the granting of the E15 vapor waiver that will allow E15 to be sold through the black nozzles all year round. Hopefully we will see independent stations add these pumps or even replace some E10 with E15, but time will tell. Ethanol is priced well below gasoline, so that E15 could be sold much cheaper to consumers. Council Bluffs is in Congressman David Young's 3rd District, who is reported to be in a toss-up race this year. He's an incumbent GOP congressman whose district includes the urban Des Moines area. Young sponsored a bill that would reallocate the $2.25 billion RIN waivers to other refiners to shore up the RFS. It is one of those bills that Big Oil will likely defeat, but we appreciate him trying. I expect that Trump chose the district because Young's seat may be saved. Steve King in the 4th District probably needs no help, but it would be hypocritical to make a pro-ethanol announcement in King's district. King strongly supported Ted Cruz for president, making all kinds of phony excuses at the time about how that would not hurt ethanol interest. That was not true. Cruz led the ethanol opposition squaring off against Chuck Grassley and is a lot of the reason that RIN waivers were granted. Cruz is at the top of the ethanol industry detractors, actively undermining the RFS, having Trump's ear. Few probably know this, but I briefed Steve King on ag issues when he was running for Congress the first time years ago. It didn't take. My primary advice was to watch Chuck Grassley on ag issues and do likewise whatever he did, which is what Joni Ernst is wisely doing. King may sound like an ethanol proponent when he has done more to hurt the industry through his support of Ted Cruz than any other politician in the state of Iowa. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal, Iowa, online at comstock.com, or call 712-227-1110.